subject is, Darren, you okay? Okay. Our subject is 2 Peter, excuse me, our text for the next few weeks will be 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 15. So if you're physically able to stand, would you do that? Today we're only going to read verses 3 and 4. And we'll take an initial look at this today and pick up next week, all right? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Verse 4, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Amen. Our Father, we humbly bow together. And you know everything. You know what's going on here right now. You see, you understand it better than we do. And so we just come to you right now and confess, Lord, we need your help. We want to understand what you're saying to us in the scriptures. We want to understand how it applies to our lives. And Lord, we want to obey you. So help us now by the power of the Spirit to hear, heed, and obey in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Our subject today, as we begin this little brief series, is it's time to grow up with confidence. It's time to grow up with confidence. This little letter, 1 and 2 Peter, but this one, this letter was written to Christians who are really going through some difficulties. They're facing, the Bible often calls it fiery trials, all right? They sting, they burn. The thing that makes it really difficult when you're going through a difficulty as a Christian is when you've got people giving you false teaching. And they're so persuasive because they've listened to someone with false teaching and they believe it, and now they're trying to persuade you while you're hurting, while you're trying to work through things in a way that will honor God. False teaching then always prevents a Christian from growing spiritually. There's no way you can grow spiritually. You're hurting, you're in difficulty, you're having medical problems, financial problems, family problems, church problems, whatever the problem is. You cannot grow through that when people are feeding you poison. You just can't do it. Or I'll put it another way. You need strength to fight. You can't fight on Hostess Twinkies and junk food and those kind of things. You just can't do it. You won't hold out long enough, right? False teaching is just fluff. It fills you up, but there's no nutrition from it, right? You understand? You come out bloated, but you can't do anything with it, okay? It's like a basketball player that goes out on the court and he's carrying too much on him. You know, he can't run, he can't jump, okay? So don't you ever think that false teaching, regardless of how good it sounds to you, is going to benefit you, all right? Spiritual growth is essential for fruitful Christian living. You got to grow. God did not create any of us to remain stagnant, all right? And then lastly, by way of introduction, I want you to know that confidence in Christ is essential. You've got to be confident in Christ if you're going to grow. Today, real quickly, we're going to take a look at these two ideas. When I say grow, I'm talking about growing in the life that God wants you to have, right? And so I'm calling that a godly life. So don't don't start making a godly life something mystical. By this statement, I'm simply saying that God has a way he wants each one of us to live. And he is, we're going to look at the source for that godly life. And we're going to look at the means, all right? So, let's dive in. The source of a godly life we see in verse 3. It begins with God's power. You see that his divine power has granted to us all things pertaining to life and godliness? God's power. The point is this. No human effort has ever saved anyone. You can convince a person. Let me be plain. You can convince a person they need to be saved. And you can see them there and they seem like they're agreeing with you, but they'll never be saved by just nodding with you and agreeing. Human power cannot deliver people from the slavery to sin. Just can't do it. Think of all of the people that have made vows to quit something. And all of us have done it at times, even as a Christian. You make a vow that you're not going to do this. You're not going to whatever you're struggling with. That vow will not enable you to stop doing it. Human effort just does not deliver people. Sin is too powerful, right? That's the reason it's called slavery. Sin chains you up, and your human will doesn't have enough power to get free from it, all right? So, it takes divine power to bring a sinner from death to life. You remember Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he said, Jesus told to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God," right? It takes the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit to bring life inside you. Then you can see, okay? It won't happen unless that has happened. John chapter 1, John there is talking about those who believed and who've received from God. Then he says that it's given to those who are born not of the will, of human effort, nor of the flesh or the will of man, but who are born of God. You have to have that divine power to set you free. No one in here has broken free from, I don't know what your issue was, drugs, sex, whatever, lying, stealing. There's no way you can break free from that apart from the power of God, right? It takes divine power to set us free. Now, not only that, it takes this same power to keep us free, right? None of us, I don't know about your lifestyle, the only reason I haven't gone back to my old lifestyle is that the power of the Holy Spirit has kept me from it. That's the only reason. I can't sit here and brag to you. I made it to almost 70 years old. It wasn't because I've been so good. And it wasn't because I resisted temptation so well. It's because the Holy Spirit has kept me, right? Would you admit that in your own life? That it's not because you, and please don't use the word lucky. A Christian is not lucky. We are blessed. Jude 24, listen to this. "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy." Him. It's to him who is able. The only reason we'll stand before Jesus on that great day without, look, can you imagine that? Blameless? All the lies that I've told, all the things that I've done. Imagine to be on that last day and to be able to stand there and for God to say you're blameless. This is phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And the only reason that we sit here right now, and the only reason I'm not doing what I used to do is because God is keeping me. Right now, he gives me some common sense. People will ask me, why don't I go to clubs anymore? I'm Iron Superman. You know, he gives you common sense to say, when you see trouble, run from it, flee. You don't need to think that just because you ain't had a drink in 20 years that you all of a sudden you've overcome that. It's too many people that have fallen by thinking that they're stronger than they are, right? And so if you got victory in your life, it's because that same power has kept you. You remember how Paul said it in Ephesians 3, now to him who is able, right, to do what? Exceeding abundantly beyond all, to ask or think according to the power that works within us, right? That's it. It's that power that keeps us. And that's the reason he can refer to this as all things. God has, his divine power has given us all things necessary for this godly life. Secondly, it's not just God's power, but it's also God's knowledge. We talked about this a little bit in Bible study this morning. One of the reasons that human intellect doesn't gain you position and power in the kingdom of God is because the smartest of people still just know a little bit, right? All of your intellectuals, the MITs and the professors and the PhDs and magna cum laudes and all of the brilliant people, they still only know a little bit. And even when you come into the kingdom and God begins to show you things, the Bible says that we see through, we're looking through a mirror, what, dimly. Because all we know in part. No Christian, regardless of how far you've walked with the Lord, sees everything clearly. I like to describe it like this. Think of this huge mountain sitting right here. And we got a really small group here this morning. Let's say that everyone in our little group was planted at spots around the mountain. You got it? We got this big mountain, and we're all standing around this big mountain looking at it. Now, I can tell you what I see right here. But that's all. I can only describe what I see on right here at this place of the mountain. I need you to tell me what you see over there. For us to get a full picture, we need what? We need it all. Because we all see in what? Part. We only see a part of the picture. And that's what God is saying to us, is that even with what we know, the best of us only know a part. Okay? And so when it comes down to this godly life, we need God's knowledge. If you've never seen that verse before right there, make note of it. Romans 7:7, that's a really important verse. It helped me when I was young in my Christian growing. Think about this. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin, you see that? You who were once slave to sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. What does that mean, Brother Willie? It simply means this. When you got saved, you needed truth. You can't get saved just by somebody's testimony. And I'm telling you, this is really important. I appreciate people's testimony. But the Bible says it's the gospel, right, that has the power of God for salvation. You need truth. You need knowledge from God to be saved. You see, you were obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. That's how in this room and our little church that's been together so long, that's the reason I hope you've got confidence in the Lord. Your confidence needs to be in the Lord. You need to know that I trust him, not Willie or Perry or some other Bible. I trust what God says, right? He cannot lie. And when you got your heart fixed on that, then you can live a godly life. Amen. We studied some hard things in Bible study. I call them hard. They're difficult in our society. But when you believe what God says, you can stand up against the wave of popular opinion and what people are saying in our society. You need to know that it's true, right? And then that other verse there, that's a really important verse too. You see that Romans 6:17? Oh, I'm sorry. We just read Romans 6:17. Romans 7:7. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. Right? So, the knowledge of what it meant to sin is what brought me to repentance. Okay? And then we just looked at 6:17. That's what I obeyed then. God says, Willie, don't lie, don't steal. I said, Lord, I've tried. Well, he says that now I want to show you how to have victory. Right? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can't get to the Father but through me. Right? And believe on him. So that knowledge is what got us saved. That knowledge is what keeps us saved, my brother, my sister. Everything true that we know about God, God himself has revealed. None of us know anything about God that he hasn't revealed to us. You can't. That's impossible for you to know if he doesn't reveal it, right? And so finally, on this point right here, I'll say this. What we know about God makes the call of God attractive and effective. You see that at the end of verse 3? Look at this. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Look at this. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. I thought about this. Every Christian in the room, do you remember what attracted you to Jesus? You remember when you finally, as Isaiah said, I'm undone? Do you remember just to think about how beautiful Jesus was? When you could see that I don't seem to have any help here. I don't have any hope. I can't save myself. Jesus becomes so beautiful when you see that you are trapped in the prison of sin. And Jesus said, I've come to set you free. And so that's the whole idea, is that it's his glory and his excellence are so attractive to you when you want to be set free, right? He sets you free because he is so beautiful. Jesus is, he ought to be the very delight of your life. You should have no one in your life that delights you more than Jesus. No one that attracts you more than Jesus. No husband, no wife, no children, no one. No one should be more attractive to you than Jesus. He is beautiful, right? He is beautiful through and through. And I think when we finally get set free from sin and we're able to be there with him, we're really going to be able to see him as he is. And this knowledge is going to ring true through and through. Amen. Finally, then, not only do we have the source of a godly life, but then we have the means. Can you go back to verse 4? By which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. God's promises are what hold us when nothing else does. Jesus has made many promises to believers that provide us motivation. They provide us strength. They provide food. You remember I told you before, you can't fight junk food. You need real substance if you're going to fight and win this war. Yes? And so the promises of God are what hold us when our life is reeling and rocking. When the bottom dropped out of life, there's the promises of God are what anchor us when the storm is raging, right? Jesus says, come to me. All who are what? Weary, heavy laden. And what does he promise? I'll give you rest, right? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in spirit. And these promises are what hold us. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. They will never perish. They'll never be snatched out of my hand. That is what anchors us when you don't feel very safe. You ever, I mean, are you have those times when you don't feel very Christian? I don't know, you go through some dry times. Yeah, we're just being real. You go through some dry times, and you need the promises of God to keep you when life is dry. When you don't have that rejoicing that Perry was talking about earlier today. You need the promises of God, right, to anchor you. And so that's what his word, his promises do for us. These promises are described here as precious. You see that in verse 4? By which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. The promises are extremely valuable. That's what the word precious means. And they are extremely important. That's what very great means. Because most of my Christians in this room know this. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing the words of Christ or the word of God, right? And so this is how our faith is built. When you find yourself working through, and we've talked about the medical issues, financial issues, the church problems, and on, you need God's promises to help you not start believing yourself. Trust in the Lord, what? With all your heart, don't try to figure it out. And I can't tell you how much danger comes when you try to figure out situations. So that's God's promises. And then I want to close with looking at what's called here God's nature. You see that in verse 4? So that through them that you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Amen. God's nature is this. God is holy, and so every believer is holy. First Peter 1, I think is verse 16. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Every Christian is already holy. When the Holy Spirit comes to make his home in you, the Holy Spirit makes you what? Holy. Do you not know that your body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason every Christian is holy. Now, we participate in his divine nature, but we never become gods. Y'all do know that that's being preached nowadays, that Christians can become gods. And it's tragic, it's destructive to people's lives. But when this verse says that you participate in his divine nature, that's what it means. You get to participate in it. You don't get to become the very essence, right, of God's. We get to enjoy his character. And yet, even though we're holy, we still have to grow in holiness. Every believer is free from the penalty and the slavery to sin and corruption. And that's the reason that verse speaks as it does about so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world. We have escaped. Now, you know, I thought of this, and I want to try to wrap up as we kind of pull these thoughts together. You ever thought about the fact that you actually escaped? You've escaped hell. You've escaped eternal condemnation. You've escaped eternal misery. Hell is going to be a place designed by God to hurt people forever. And you and I have escaped that. The devil could not hold us captive any longer since Jesus came to set us free. Amen. The one who the Son sets free is free indeed. And so finally then, every believer has begun to take on God's glory and God's moral excellence right now. right now. So then, my brother, my sister, every one of us must accept the responsibility for our spiritual growth, and we must accept the fault or the blame for our lack of growth. I think it's time that all of us realize we need to stop blaming other people for me not growing. Amen? God Himself has provided us with everything necessary to grow spiritually. We have God's power. We have God's knowledge. We have God's promises. And we have God's nature. Therefore, we are left with no legitimate reason, only excuses. No legitimate reasons, only excuses for not growing and becoming mature. You know what, we've heard them all. I'm too busy. Willie, you just don't understand. My lifestyle is just too busy. I don't have time. I'm too tired. By the time I get home, I'm too tired to spend time in the Word and to spend time in prayer and meditation. I got too many issues going on in my life. You all don't know what's happening. Nobody's situation is like mine. I got too many problems. I got no support from my family. I'm in this on my own. Nobody in my family supports me when I want to spend time in the Scriptures or when I want to get alone with God. No support from my church members. No support from other Christians. All the excuses. Bible reading is too hard. It's boring. It's irrelevant, you see? When God said, I've given you everything that you need, all that we give back to God is excuses. This is why I'm not growing. This is why I'm not maturing. Or you may say I'm already too advanced. I know I'm no longer challenged by other believers. I won't mention any names, but I've had people tell me that I'm no longer challenged by the Bible. That's the reason I don't read it. And there's something wrong with that kind of thinking. Other people are too immature. So you see, I don't grow because others around me are immature. And that's the reason I've stopped growing. You see, those are only excuses. They're just excuses. But our God and our Heavenly Father is patient. He's forgiving and He's faithful. And He is encouraging us to grow up right now. It's not too late. You're not too old. You're not too young. You haven't fallen too far behind others. God is actually calling you right here, right now. The only question is, will you say yes? Will you say yes to the Lord? Will you say, yes, I am ready today? Will you say, I want to be everything you've planned for me to be? I want to grow into the Christian that consistently pleases you with my thoughts, consistently pleases you with my words, and consistently pleases you with my actions. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. And if you're not a Christian, if you know that you're not a Christian today, today would be a wonderful opportunity for you to say yes to the Lord too. It's kind of interesting that times like this, when there's so few of us together, people have a tendency to not think about what God is doing. But I want you to block out all that right now. If you're not a Christian, you really need to think about what God is doing. And if you are a Christian, you need to see if God is speaking to you. None of us really know if you're going to have that next time, you see, that next Wednesday or that next Sunday to do these things. You can't sit around and wait for everybody to get back and for all the kind of, we make all of these excuses for why we're not going to obey. God worked out who He wanted here today. You believe that? Yes. He rules, He overrules.
And so all that we need to settle here today is, do I hear God? Can I hear him for myself? Forget about Willie. Can you hear God for yourself? Are you really where God wants you to be?
Lord, we just need your help